Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only Pucko Podcast!
Okay, Maximus, I'm gonna get Charmander, you're gonna get Squirtle.
Hey there, why should I get Squirtle? You get Squirtle. I want Charmander, I want to fly.
No, I want Charmander.
I want Charmander.
Guys, what's going on?
Viger, you get Bulbasaur.
Yeah, nobody likes you. You get Bulbasaur.
I'm still getting Charmander.
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Pucko!
Grab your friends, it's that time again. Listen to the show with the fun never ends. It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah.
Pucko!
It's your host,
String of Death!
To your co-host,
whatever you have!
It's Pucko!
Pucko!
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 194th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts,
Viger
and Mr. Maximus.
And we're here to bring you another Pucklelicious episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, for those of you who are new. And we are an online community / podcast / content creation center for a bunch of Pokemon-related content. You can check us out at PucklePodcast.com if you want some more stuff. But otherwise, just keep on listening. We're only like 2 minutes in, and I've already lost half of them. So, all right. So I guess I'll start with the question that I do every week. What have you guys been up to in Pokemon this week or since the last time you were here? Should say last time since you were here. Viger, you were here very long time ago. It's been a while.
It's
been like 7 days since I've last talked to you.
It's been a week. About a week ago. But...
what did you do Pokemon-wise?
Not a lot, because I've had to work overtime this week.
And no,
I'm exhausted.
I mean, that happens. I think that's one of the charms of our show, is that nobody here is paid to play Pokemon, so...
Yeah. The thing was, though, it's like, I'm PRN, so getting, like, overtime is, like, ow. So,
yeah,
I'm not used to this kind of stuff, so, yeah, I'm just, like, tired.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. That's definitely understandable. What about you, Maximus? Have you been doing anything Pokemon-wise?
Yes, I have. Still trying to get competitive legendaries. That's still a pain.
Oh, you're still working on that? How's that going?
Well, I got Landorus.
That's something. I mean, that's
there
something.
There you go. That's like,
I knew that was going to be the first one.
I think that was. I think that's a big win right there.
That's always the one that you want to go for.
Landorus. And I'm working on Heatran.
Ooh. Oh yes, Heatran.
Yeah.
As a Steel aficionado, that's always something that you want to go for.
Heatran's actually like really good. That's a good choice. I mean, if I were going for a Heatran, I'd definitely go for like a Hidden Power Ice one.
Oh yes,
I might actually have a Hidden Power Ice one. I'm not sure, but Hidden Power Ice definitely the way to go.
I don't know about the Hidden Power of my Heatran, but all I know is she is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it has a gender, which is really interesting.
It's a gender, and of course, mine would turn out to be a girl.
So you can do the infatuation because it's such a competitive strategy.
Yep.
That's always weird. Why do certain legendaries have, like, genders and just...
I mean,
real.
Okay, I think the only ones that do are Heatran and Latios and Latias. I think those are the only ones with genders.
I always kind of look at it as, like, you kind of have to have a certain legendary status. I mean, Heatran just lives in a cave, mm-hmm. and it's, like, one of a kind. So, okay.
Zekrom's a dragon that's, like, a myth, and... I mean, honestly, like, with some of those, how are you gonna tell? Like, eh.
Giratina's from hell? Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, I don't know. It's one of those things.
It's just kind of how legendary mm-hmm. are you.
How legendary are you? That's true. I agree with that. I agree with that for the most part. As for myself, I've been playing a lot of Showdown in my I'm tired of writing, I want to do something else time. And I did submit the written part of my candidacy, so we only have like a week and a half left now. And I'll be free once again. Because I've just been like, while I haven't been doing, like, spending the amount of time I typically do on Puckle, I've been coming up with ideas for more content. So, well, I guess watch out for that. Hopefully that happens in the near future. Everybody can, like, check out all the cool new content that I've decided that we should start doing.
Yeah.
It'll be in next month's council report.
Yeah, I was going to mention something during the news when that mm-hmm. comes around, so.
All right. So I guess that's it. I'm getting ready for the Pikachu Cup. We talked a lot about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And
and we're going to talk about a little bit more in the
we're
news.
We're going to probably talk about a little bit more in the news. Hopefully nothing like next week, but I'm getting pretty excited for the Pikachu Cup. I'm pretty excited. All right. So let's kick it over to the news. So cue the epic music. Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in! And on to the news. So, again, it's another dry spell, but before we go on with that, it was actually confirmed by Joe Merrick, the guy who runs Cerebi.net, that hopefully in this upcoming Coral, there's gonna be some Pokemon news.
Yay!
Because it looks like they've left a spot in the Coral for new Pokemon. That's what the translation read, new Pokemon. And
but what does that entirely mean?
Like, nobody knows. So
new
it could...
Pokemon game, new Pokemon manga, new
yeah, exactly.
Pokemon. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, we could be looking at like just new Pokemon information new Pokemon information from what's it called? What am I thinking of?
Coral.
From Coral about. I'm sorry, I have, like, a really bad headache, and so it's going all over the place, about Super Mystery Dungeon.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's not Coro that's saying this, but it's there's a merchandise sheet which is hiding a new Pokemon in Japan. So it's a Japanese merchandise sheet with, like, a hidden Pokemon on it. So this could mean that we're about to see something crazy. I'm looking at the picture right now. I'm kind of excited for that. I would like to see.
Does it look like anything like the
I mean, they colored it. They blocked it out with a black circle.
Okay, so there's no shape to distinguish it.
No. There's no shape. And it's just ... Which is it's pretty exciting cuz the Japanese on top of it also says new Pokemon.
Well, so, there you go.
I mean, he could be dreaming about a new Zygarde form for all we know.
Yeah.
And which is what I'm hoping.
Or it could be that mystery Cyclops.
Or, yeah, it could just be like the blob. It could be Blobby. Or it could even be Volcanion.
Maybe. Volcanion's still kinda up in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
There's even another one. It happened this again. A brand new Pokemon as a huge plush coming out in December.
Yep.
It's either going to happen, we're either going to hear something, hopefully, in this Coral leak, or we could even hear about something at Worlds, which happens in about 2 weeks. So this is really exciting, actually.
So much stuff is happening.
It's happening-ish.
Maybe happen.
Yeah, it's not happening 100%, but it's happening. Hopefully it's happening.
I'll just be able to finally talk about something.
I'm really excited. I hope something happens very soon.
I'm scraping the bottom of a barrel here with
what I have to report on.
I'm hoping very soon something big happens, something big drops. But well,
because I'm tired of looking up Serebii and it's just nothing but Pokemon Shuffle updates. I'm like, I need something new.
Well,
no, I don't care about Mega Dark.
To mix my obsessions of Pokemon and Amiibo, a Mewtwo Amiibo is coming out, which I think has been known about for a while.
Well,
but the Mewtwo Amiibo has been announced for a European release of October 23rd. So Europe, New Zealand, Australia, you guys can get an awesome Mewtwo Amiibo probably before the U.S. can, because we have supply problems.
Fluffiest will be able to just wave it around in our faces and be like, "Look,
I hope
what
she
got!
She should go buy me one and send it to me."
Can you spend your hard-earned money on something that I might not use?
I am just about all caught up on Amiibo. I'm just no. about all caught up on Amiibo. The Amiibo hype is starting to die down, which I'm really happy about. And Super Smash Bros. Is like less than 20 characters away from just being done.
Yeah.
So once that's done, I'm out. I'm out of Amiibo. I can't collect anymore. I will have a solid like.
Still can.
I'll have a solid like $1,000 in Amiibo by the time this collection's finished. And that's a really sad thought.
Yep.
It's a really sad thought.
Mewtwo Amiibo. First DLC Amiibo coming out. Mm-hmm. Expect more on the way because I can't get enough Amiibo.
Well, the thing is, there's still going to be a couple like DLC characters, right?
Yeah,
on top
still
of the ones that are already out because because the ballot for fighters is still going on.
The ballot fighter hasn't been announced yet.
I mean, there's going to be like one or two of those at least.
Many people thought Ryu was the ballot fighter, but no, he's not.
Mm-mm.
There's still somebody else that we're waiting on.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's going to be another ballot fighter. And the ballot's not over until like the end of October.
And yeah, so.
So still we're not going to find out about that for a while. And then they're still going to come out with an Amiibo for those.
Mm. Of course. And they're probably going to come out with new versions of those same Amiibos again.
Just not gonna buy them. I'm done. I'm out.
Just with the character in a slightly different position.
Maybe not even that, but I could see them doing like the alt colors.
Yeah. One for each alt color.
That would be awful. That'd be 100% awful.
Oh, all 720 plus Pokemon Amiibos.
No, I think if they were to do Pokemon Amiibo, they'd handle it in a very similar way to the Animal Crossing Amiibo. Where it's, like, trading cards.
Well, I'd almost say handle it more like they did with Rumble.
I doubt that's gonna happen.
Because, I mean, they tried.
They did, but I don't think that was, like, you can't physically do that.
Yeah.
You can't do that. It's just not sustainable. Yeah.
So either way, we're talking way too much about Amiibos that none of us really have any interest in anymore, so.
I have so much interest in Amiibo. Don't even get me started. I stood outside of a GameStop yesterday.
I have so much interest
from
in
from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. to go get the retro pack reordered.
Right. So anyway, Mewtwo Amiibo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
go crazy.
Go crazy, people. All right. So we got more information on the Pikachu Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be coming.
Oh, that's right.
Registration is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
We're getting the Pikachu. We know what the Pikachu's moves will be when it comes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, none of them are Surf.
I know. Or that makes me. That's like the saddest realization I came to.
About a week ago, me, Thatch, and Fluffius were talking about this very thing on this very podcast, saying like, "Oh, wouldn't it be so cool if the Pikachu was a surfing Pikachu? Because we need that back in our lives again. Because we couldn't do it as a Pokemon Bank." And nope, Endeavor Pikachu. You'll
it's
like
Endeavor,
it if
Volt Tackle, Encore, and Fake Out, which are, I guess, other than the Endeavor, like, they're all, like, essentially egg moves that Pikachu already had, and I don't know, I'm just not very excited. I'm not, like, Endeavor or Pikachu does just not sound that fun to me.
Whenever you think of a Pikachu distribution,
Endeavor,
you're all thinking.
Quick Attack, that'll be a good combination.
Endeavor, Quick Attack, yeah, no, but that's, then you're just playing the Rattata strategy with a Pikachu.
Yeah.
What's the difference there?
It's Pikachu. Yeah. You can actually get some kills with Pikachu before that strategy.
That's true. You make a good point there. I mean, even with Volt Tackle and Endeavor combined, that's something. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But still, here was a prime area for you to get the Surfing Pikachu back.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody loves the Surfing Pikachu.
Yeah, and they got rid of the Surfing Pikachu. I'm so sad.
And they got rid of the Surfing Pikachu. So
Well, maybe Viger. There's a little bit of hope. There will be a Pokemon Stadium 3 that will come and be like, Thatch, here's your Surfing Pikachu.
Here's your Surfing Pikachu back.
I think Helioist replaced Pikachu and you wanna... with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the electric surfing Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Either way, it was just not really what we were expecting. But
mm-hmm.
either way, if Pikachu is in the top three most used Pokemon, then the entire Pikachu distribution will be given out. It will have the hidden ability Lightning Rod, and it will be holding a Light Ball altogether. And if Pikachu is in the top four to the 12th position in the cup, you will just simply receive a Light Ball.
Yes.
For distribution.
I think the Light Ball is more exciting.
Light Ball is a bit more exciting.
Even though it's readily accessible.
Yeah. But it's just like, hey, here's another Light Ball if you've already got it.
One for physical, one for special.
Yep.
Yep, there you go.
I guess that's it for the news this week.
Pretty much,
Nothing else really going on. Hopefully next week we can say something to you, or even the week after that.
Yeah, we will be like, hopefully exploding out of every angle.
I'll be pretty excited.
If it is a new Pokemon game, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I guess that's it for the news. So,
any Puckle news or
no Puckle news, sadly.
Okay.
After this. We're gonna do a short break, and we'll get back to you guys with the topic.
Hey there, Puckalonians. Gator here to tell you how you can love us more. Here at Pokemon Underground Champion League's podcast, we both want and need your undying affection. But Gator, you ask, how can I do that? It's easy! Follow our Twitter and Tumblr, like us on Facebook, subscribe to the Puckle subreddit, find us on YouTube, and if you find yourself with a couple extra dollars, consider donating to the show. 100% of donations go to the community and keeping the show running. I love you.
And on to the topic today. Our topic today is we're going to be discussing rivals throughout the series. And so I think the last time we talked about rivals was maybe like 5 years ago. So
yeah,
I think it's time for an updated discussion.
We got, like, at least two more generations of rivals to deal with now, right?
I think the first place to start, let's go gen by gen, and we can go through our opinions of the rivals, maybe eventually get to some idea of what we would like from a Gen 7 rival in the near future. Gen 1, obviously, you start with Blue, the classic rival that tells you to smell you later.
Or Buttface, if you were real...
If you were real mature,
yep,
and you knew how to stick it to people back in the day,
yep. But either way, Blue was your first rival. Any Pokemon trainer.
Honestly, as like Red and Blue going playing through Leaf Green and Fire Red, they had like a lot of story elements in that they've had a lot of not gym leader esque dungeons, you know,
yeah,
and a lot of Team Rocket side story and stuff, and a lot of other things, and. I mean, you've run into your rival, I think, just about as much, if not more, than, like, your other rivals in other games.
Right.
Well, first of all, I find it very interesting. You see him in very interesting places, story-wise. The Silph-Co building, as you're trying to, like, raid it and stop Giovanni.
He just seems to, like, pop up out
he's
of
just
the
there, and, like, he's just there in the Silph-Co building. It's like, what are you doing here?
He's like, don't forget about me!
Yeah.
I'll smell you later! And then he's gone. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
And he's in Lavender Town because of the classic you killed his Raticate story, whatever.
On the St. Anne.
Yeah, whatever. But I'm done with the Raticate story.
That's completely a different.
I just think that's been overblown way too much. Like, honestly.
That's for a Pokemon Theories episode. But
even then, it's just one of those that I'm so tired of hearing.
Killed his Raticate. It's like, yeah, let's move on.
Move on. Yeah.
And then, of course, the grand finale with Blue, finding him to have already beaten all of the Elite Four before you
The entire game, he's, like, one step ahead of you. And that, like, I don't know, when I was a kid and playing Red and Blue version, like, that was a drive. Like, there's this guy there that very much so just does not want to be with you. Like, just wants to beat you. And he's there. He's one step ahead of you every single time.
No matter how many times you beat him in battle, he's always ahead of you.
He's always there. And there's just no way to catch up until the end, when you have to face him in the final showdown.
Until you literally corner him at the end.
Mm-hmm. There's nowhere left for him to go. He's already beat you to the end, and you have to take him out.
He's gone as high as he possibly could, and then you went higher. So
yeah, it was. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
I never really got my true to form start until Gen 4, so I'm one of those that was depraved of that feeling of accomplishment. And it pains me every waking moment. It's like, I did not confront Blue on the Indigo Plateau. No!
I mean, it is one of those, like, defining moments. Like, Pokemon was a huge part of my childhood.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was definitely, like, one of my defining moments.
It was the Pokemon anime for me, but I can see, like, there be, like, the same emotional high that you get facing Blue as the champion that you would get watching Bye-Bye Butterfree. And it's just like...
I mean, it's just like, yeah, I beat you. I'm now finally ahead of you.
Beat you. Now get out of my way.
I mean, we can move on to Gen 2. First of all, with Gen 2, the first encounter with your rival, it was always introducing him as ... Right,
yeah.
And so he steals a Pokemon from Professor Elm's laboratory, which already makes him cooler than most rivals. And then he goes ahead, steals the Pokemon, you battle him, you don't know his name, but then you go back to Professor Elm, and they're just like, hey, somebody stole a Pokemon, he had red hair, did you see him? And you're like, yeah, I totally saw him, I just battled him. They're like, what was his name? And as a kid, I don't know how many, Maximus, you played Gold and Silver?
That was my first Pokemon game.
Yeah, when they asked you the name for your rival, I definitely put ... because they asked me what his name was. I'm like,
that's
was his
what
name.
They said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was meant to be the mechanic for name your rival, and so I went through my original playthrough of Silver version with a rival named ...
The curse type.
I honestly think he's one of the cooler rivals. Like, there's Blue. Like, nothing's gonna beat Blue. Goes, becomes a gym leader, you know, does all this cool stuff. I really do think that in himself that Silver is actually a really cool rival. He's the son of Giovanni in the manga, and it's confirmed later in the games with the Celebi event that's what he is. He's just got this vendetta against Team Rocket because his dad literally abandoned him. And it's great. I mean, he's got such a good backstory, and
it was a huge change of pace when it came between the transition between Blue and Silver, and that Blue was just always this, like, haha, I'm better than you, smell you later, and then Silver is just, like, completely bad to the bone to everyone and everything he comes in contact with. So it's just this, like,
I understand
you being the bad guy here.
It honestly felt like a growth in some way, right? Because, like,
yeah,
Blue was the very immature rival.
It's very, very immature.
And then, you know, a couple years later you get Silver, who is just, like, this dark, mysterious, like, he's got a mission. And, like, you're there to try to stop him at the same time.
Things get real.
Yeah, things get real, that's for sure.
Like Red and Blue, like the opening, say, okay, I'm about to go on a Pokemon adventure, beat my rival, and get to the top. But then once you grow up a little, a few years later, Gold and Silver come around.
Yeah.
you get more serious.
It's like,
it gets a little bit more serious. And
it's like, I'm going to pick a new starter Pokemon. I'm going to have a great adventure. And then literally Silver just comes jumping out of the window, shattering, and just be like, I stole some crap.
I mean, I just think it's really cool. I thought it was very well done.
Yes.
The manga is very good. I mean, I always suggest the manga, and I haven't done an episode on the manga in quite some time. Which needs to happen. It needs to happen. I need to do an episode on the manga again.
Yes. Need to do an episode on the manga.
Because the manga is really good, and I'm very pro manga. But yeah, it's just like one of those things. He's got such a good backstory, and
yeah,
it's just one of those things. So I guess next is to move on to Gen 3. Gen 3, in a sense, you had two rivals. You had May and Wally.
And it was the first to introduce the concept of the other player character being your rival.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I really wish they... Well, they kind of tried to do that. They tried to do that in a couple other places, but not really. Like
They tried to do that in Sinnoh as well.
They did it really in that way. Like, May and Dawn, I can draw a lot of parallels to.
Yeah.
Dawn is very much there as a support character, just like May is. May is just there to be your friend to support you. Or Brendan,
yeah,
if you're playing as the female character. It's just kind of there to support you. Whereas Wally is there to be, like... He's kind of, I feel like he is red to the red and blue of rivals, right?
Yeah.
And you're more blue in that situation. Because every time you saw Wally, you're just like, oh, hey, kid. And then you raffle stomp him and you walk away.
Smell you later!
Because he's literally always, like, one step behind you.
Yeah, you would literally teach him how to catch a Pokemon.
Yeah, he's one step behind you the entire game. And but so, I don't know, I thought Gen 3 had very weak rivals.
Although I will say, with the release of Auraz, I thought Wally got much more, like, of an update than he did in...
Oh, he's definitely a lot better now.
Oh, mm-hmm. In that battle theme that you get mm-hmm. when you face Wally in Victory Road... I cannot get that out of my head.
I mean, I think that instead of Gardevoir, give him Gallade this time. Gallade is a much better fit for Wally's character.
Yeah. And the thing was, it was back in Ruby and Sapphire, he caught a male Ralts, which would mm-hmm. evolve into a male Gardevoir, just because Gallade didn't exist at the time. So now that Gallade exists, and not only that, it can Mega Evolve, might as well.
I don't know. It was just one of those things where, you know, it definitely stepped up. But I think that Ruby and Sapphire's rivals were relatively unexciting.
It was more tame than what Blue and Silver had.
I didn't like it.
Offer.
I mean, I would really like a rival
they just kind of felt like they were just kind of shoehorned in there. They weren't really mm-hmm. Because when you think of a rival...
Yeah, they weren't story-centric at all.
Right.
When you think of a rival's not really supposed to be as, like, friendly-esque mm-hmm. as...
I mean, I think that's more of an American... culture
it
thing.
Is more of an American
because
culture.
In Japan, I think they were meant to be your friends, but you know, Blue was just not a good person.
Yeah, we've known each other since children, but you are kind of a
yeah, exactly.
There's a word I'd use. It's child friendly, so
yeah.
So either way, yeah, Brendan, May, and Wally. Wally, I really like you in Auraz more so than Ruby and Sapphire.
Oh, that's for sure. And Diamond and Pearl.
Then we move on to Sinnoh.
Yeah, where you get Barry.
Barry.
Is that his canon name? Is that his canon name, Barry?
His default name is Barry because that's his name in the anime as well. They go by Barry.
Okay.
Although,
so...
fun fact, I chose Marcus instead. That was another default name that mm-hmm. I could pick, but I was like, Marcus sounds like the cooler one. But then turns out Marcus was just as uncool as Barry is.
I mean, there's...
It's just... Yeah. It's just... Eh.
Yeah.
There's not much you can really say about Barry, except he's just there. And again, he's like Blue in the sense that he just pops up out of the hedges and fight mm-hmm. me!
Well, he's not like that. He's just like... He's like this ADHD. He is ahead of you, but he's a much more tame version, I guess.
Yeah.
In that he's being very friendly about it, but...
Yeah. He is more... I would say he's more of a friend than to the Diamond and Pearl player than Blue is to Red.
Oh, of course. Definitely. I mean, that's...
More so
you're saying,
than,
you're
more
like
so
trying
than
to say, like, an apple tastes more like an apple than an orange. And
yeah.
That's what you're trying to say, and, like, that's completely right.
that's exactly what Barry set out to be.
Yeah.
Although, I will go off record and say that Barry in the anime is freaking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, in the anime, he's hilarious, but...
Always yelling.
Mm-hmm.
I'll fine you.
And I think it's very interesting that his father is like the leader of the battle tower as well.
He's the tower tycoon.
How much of a disappointment is he to his father? That's my question.
Oh, at least he got all eight badges.
He did get all eight badges, but he didn't like do anything.
You basically fought him at the door of the Elite Four and be like, no, you just
You do that in every game, though, now. And that's, I mean, I'm kind of tired of that predictability, you know?
I want a new blue experience. I want to fight my rival as the champion and be like, no.
Yeah.
This is where we stand, and this is where we're going to decide who's the strongest.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what I want. I want that blue experience.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to me. Gen 7.
I agree with you. Title. I agree with you.
I want that blue experience again. So, either way, Barry,
Yeah, exactly.
So then we move on to Gen 5, where we had three rivals. Sharon,
yes, you have Anka. Three. No, I guess if you include Ed, yeah.
Oh, I say Gen 5, so. Well, I was going to say Sharon, Bianca, and Hugh.
Oh, if you want to include
But if we
Hugh.
Want to talk about Anne, well then let's
Oh, I mean, I didn't know you were including Black and White too. I'd rather not include Anne because there's too much of discussion there.
Yeah, that's a completely different. He transcends like what it takes to be a rival.
It's not even like not a rival. It's more like I don't know. I see more of a Giovanni-esque transformation in him.
Oh yeah, big time.
I can see him as a mentor kind of figure.
That's a good point. I like that a lot.
He goes beyond what a rival usually does in the Pokemon game. It's like when the Pokemon game is just like, oh, you two are striving to be the best Pokemon trainer, or at least be better than each other. Well, with N and the player, it's literally a clash of ideals.
Yeah, well, literally, we should do an episode on like
N,
not just N, but on
just
teams.
N.
Just like, because there are a lot of interesting characters that, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, Cyrus from Team Galactic was important or anything.
Oh, but, who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I guess a future episode could be main antagonists.
Some antagonists. I think that'd be interesting to do. Either way, we can talk. I mean, Sharon and Bianca, I think, this is where, like, this concept of, like, going, like, it was more so in the American games portrayed as a friendship. Yeah. And it was, I don't know, I honestly got very bored with it. I like that Bianca had some kind of backstory, like her parents didn't want her to go on the adventure, and you had to help with that. And I thought that was very, very interesting. And
I like the flip side that happens between Sharon and Bianca when you compare them. I mean, they're like opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
That Sharon is more in control and methodical. He thinks things through and knows exactly what's going on. Bianca is the complete opposite of that in every way. She's completely scatterbrained. She has no idea what's going on and always like doesn't think things through at all.
I mean, I think that was intentional.
A pure wild card.
That was intentional.
Yeah, and then you were kind of in the middle.
Well, you were kind of you.
It's literally the Taoism theme that Unova was setting out
exactly.
to be. Black and white, yin and yang. Oh my gosh, I just came up with that on my head.
Wait, did you not know that was a thing?
I just suddenly came up with that. Holy crap.
You really remember how there used to be one Pokemon?
I understood the Taoism between Zekrom and Reshiram, but I never put it together with Sharon and Bianca.
No, they do that. It's like a constant theme throughout the Black and White.
Dang it!
Like a constant theme.
Who am I, Red here?
Like that's why you and N have such different ideologies,
right?
And like that's just the whole game.
I understand.
That's
the whole
game, Biker.
I understand that fact. It's just now I'm putting together Sharon and Bianca.
I mean,
those
they do it
two.
Everywhere. It's hilarious.
I literally. You are blue. I am red. I will smell you later.
And yeah, I don't know. So I didn't care for them too much, just because I didn't feel like I didn't see the level of depth there in their characters, like there is now. Not even now. Now it's even worse. But
Hugh
was interesting because he was ahead of you, but he didn't do it intentionally. He was just trying to do better so he could go get his sister's purloin. And it was he still wasn't a good character, granted, because it's been, like, 5 years, and he's still, like, harping on his sister's purloin. And he's just like, purloin, I need to find you! Purloin!
Jeez.
I mean, that's the entire game, is Hugh just being like, I need to find purloin. And it's just like, okay, let's calm down a little bit. There's a little bit more to life than purloin.
And let's think things through. First off, purloin sucks. Yeah. You'd be better off getting a different Pokemon that's actually better.
Okay.
Well,
my next thing is, okay, it's a Purloin. We live right next to a root that has Purloin. Go catch another one. Your sister's not going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Honestly, she's not going to be able to tell the difference. And then it does come to like a conclusion. Like there is a conclusion to that where he does see his sister's Purloin fully evolved now as a Lipard. And
Lipard.
It even gets better, right? And yeah, the Shadow Trio is like
it just gets better.
Yeah, the Shadow Trio is like the Shadow Triad's like, yeah, we had it the entire time. We do not feel sorry about this.
I mean, it was a Purloin. I don't know why you're caring so much about this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Purloin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, you could do better.
Mm-hmm. It was a very odd moment. Like, I felt like there was more that they could have done story-wise there. And I feel like it was executed very poorly. But, you know, I mean, it could have been a different, like, motivation. Like, it could have been, like, the Purloin's gone, and he wants to go get revenge for that.
It's dead.
I think that would be, I can understand it. That would get a little too real for Pokemon, honestly. But it's not Star Wars, the Clone Wars.
Pokemon death hasn't stopped the series before. I mean, literally, Gen 5 had Alder and his Pokemon that was
dead. That's
so
true.
So it's like it's the same generation. I think they could do that.
They could have done it again. I think that would have been very interesting, actually, now that you mention it. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
And then Lavender Town. It is a tower full of dead Pokemon.
Okay, that's different. Gen 1, you're not allowed to apply the rules of anything that happened in Gen 1 to the overarching theme of the world of Pokemon. Anything from the anime season 1 to seasons 1 and 2 and Gen 1, the video games, you are not allowed to say it is canon in the Pokemon world. You are not allowed to do that.
What about Mount Pryor, third generation?
Okay, see, Mount Pyre, that makes sense. Good. Maximus makes a valid point.
I was going to say Gold and Silver, the Brass and Tin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I'm out.
Okay. I'm out.
So anyway, Unibleve, Hugh, it's a Purloin. Get over it.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Let's move on to the final group, and that's Gen 6, where you have, like, five rivals, friends.
At least four.
There's the other gender character, either Serena or, what's the male character's name?
Calum,
that's right. And then you have Tyranno, the smart
Shauna.
Kid Trevor, Shauna.
And that's it.
And that's
Shauna, Tyranno, and Trevor.
It's five. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
The ecstatic girl, the fatty, and the Pokedex completionist.
And I don't know. I thought it was okay. So the first time I played X and Y, when I first played through X and Y, and like they're all in like the Viridian Forest because they use the exact same map for it.
Yeah.
When you're in that forest. And they're all just running around. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. This is really neat. Maybe we can get some really cool character development with this, you know?
Yeah.
And then the entire game was just a complete letdown. Because there were too many characters and not enough chances to give them personality, you know?
Yeah.
They were generic characters because, come on, look at that scenario. You have the quote-unquote nerd, you got the quote-unquote fat guy, and you got the girl. That's generic as you can get.
It is the triad. Although they did try and give them all each like little different personality quirks that made them
like,
different.
I think the only one that actually made any impact on me while playing through the game is Shauna. Because Shauna has some kind of like romantic feelings for you, obviously.
If you're a girl.
Yeah, even if you're a girl. Which is fine. That's fine.
Okay.
That was a couple weeks ago.
I was a girl talking to Sean.
But either way, which is interesting. I think that Shauna, like, had this really big feeling. Because she'd always, like, stay behind when everybody else ran ahead and talk to you. Like, give you a little...
Yeah, she was the one that could heal your Pokemon in Viridian Forest.
And I thought that was very interesting. And I really wish that they would have given you more one-on-one time with each of the rivals, you know?
Yeah.
Like, say that you guys are just, like you're on your way to go fight, because Serena and Calum show up and help you out, and Shauna as well, with Team Flare at the end. But even when, like, when you're at the Pokeball Factory, they're not really there with you when you're, like, taking on the Pokeball Factory.
Right.
And
they just, again, kind of materialize out from
it would have been really silly if, like, you and Tierno would have been, like, stuck in, like, fighting Team Flair at one point together. Yeah, and then he's just like, them. I'm gonna do a dance move.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like, and you beat them with a dance-off.
Exactly. I mean, I thought something like that would be awesome. And, like, you get a little bit of character built in with the character there. It doesn't, I mean, saying that the character that was there, like, the character development that was there, wasn't very good to begin with. As I don't think the characters that they intended for them to be were very good, solid characters.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting if you had a group of friends and, like, you had one that was, like, a blue-esque character. Who is just, like, not nice to everybody.
He is kind of snooty and sassy. But everybody just, like, lives with it. It's just like, just... Because you would like to think that, like, this could possibly be, like, a group of friends that you relate to in real life. And, yeah, there is that one.
As Dane Cook would say, every group of friends has a Karen. That nobody likes.
Yeah.
That one person that nobody likes. That would be that person.
It's just that one character that, nobody likes. Something like that.
Yeah. So. Just, nobody likes him, and so when that person's not around, your favorite thing to do as a group of friends is to make fun of that person.
Yeah. Talk crap behind their back.
Exactly. That's really mean. Don't do that in real life, kids.
No, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Don't do that in real life, kids.
Don't aspire to be Thatch. Don't. But either way, for sixth generation, I would say it was either Kayla. Again, it's like Hoenn in the sense that the other player character turns out to be more of a rival than anyone else.
I honestly think that they were just so shallow and it wasn't even necessary.
It's just Wally became three different people.
Exactly, Wally became three different people, and the other gender character just didn't do as much either. I don't think they were that exciting.
Although it was pretty interesting that both of you really were at the same level, and like, for instance, when you go to the Mega Evolution Guru and he only has one Mega Ring to pass out. Well, it's like, well, Kalem and Serena are both very capable of wielding the power of Mega Evolution, so I guess whoever wins a Pokemon battle can Mega Evolve their Pokemon.
Yeah.
So then it was literally like, well, okay, I can see this being very much rival-esque in that, yes, you are both on the same level, except your Pokemon,
one of you wasn't blue.
Five level. Yeah.
You're the main character.
And
you automatically get it.
Yeah. I don't know. It would have been a real bummer if you didn't get it, right?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Oh, well. Either way, rivals.
How much that game would change if it actually affected the story. Like, you actually lost that match, you don't get the negative.
That would suck, though. Imagine how much that would suck.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way. Gen 7, like, what would we like to see? Honestly, for me, I'd like to see something that was more like blue. I'd like to go back to basics.
I want
one
rival.
One rival.
One rival. One rival system.
I want to relive those experiences that you guys have with blue.
Well, you're not reliving it then. You're just living it.
Yeah, I want to live it for once in my life. I mean, I'm trying to play through, like, Fire Red and Leaf Green, but I already know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go in there blind and not knowing that it's going to happen.
I think that's my favorite thing about the international releases now.
Yeah.
Is that I can actually go into the story blind. I couldn't do that before with Black and White, because, like, I would try not to, but, like, at the same time, like, I'm running a Pokemon podcast, and there's 4 months, and these games are out. I've got to talk about it. You know?
Yeah. It's like, it would be really easy for Gen 7 to pull off something like Blue and still dupe all the players in the process. It's like, we've gotten complacent with having one last player rival battle before you enter the Elite Four. Well, what if we try and contrive something where, yes, you do have that battle with your rival before the Elite Four, but then a plot device happens and prohibits you from going straight to the Elite Four just yet. And you're brought on to beat the enemy team.
What they did,
catch the legendary Pokemon and then return, only to find out that in that instance, you left the door open and your rival just simply walked.
I think in Red and Blue, what they did to actually, like, not get you to catch that is, I might be mistaken, I'm double checking myself right now, but I think the character Blue, or I guess I'll look at Gary. I don't know what to look at. But let's see, based on character there we go. Character counterpart, here we go, blue. I think what they do is actually, before the final battle, and before you, as the champion, you actually play him at the, I think you play him beforehand, before the before Victory Road, but I could very well be wrong. Let's see, gym battle, fire red, leaf green, indigo plateau, rematches, where is it? I don't know where it went. Okay, either way, I think they did something where you battled him beforehand, so you honestly were just not expecting it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just gone. There was just no chance of you ever expecting it. Let's see, let me double check. I can't find it. Okay, but I think there was something like that. It was very interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It'd be something to see if a more blue, red-blue character would come out. And honestly, it'd be really cool if, like, they did that sequel, Red and Blue 2, where you're playing as like, characters 20 years later, and you and your friend have exactly the same attitudes as Red and Blue.
Do you think they're going to be the children of Red and Blue, or no?
I don't think so, but I think it'd be very interesting if it was two children growing up in Pallet Town that were exactly like Red and Blue. The story would obviously be different, but I think it would be very interesting.
That'd be pretty interesting seeing a very old Professor Oak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like a 20-year-older, like 20 years older Professor Oak. I think that'd be very interesting.
That's old because he's already a grandfather. So
yeah, we haven't seen Professor Oak in quite a while either. He was a staple in, I believe, all of the games, or in all the generations up until Gen 4, and I don't think he was in Gen 5 or in Gen 6, which kind of makes me sad.
Count the remakes, but
he was also in Diamond and Pearl.
Oh yeah,
he was in Diamond and Pearl, and so it'd be very interesting to see something like that. Yeah. I'd be interested to see something like that. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, so let's go to commercial break, guys, and we'll catch you on the flip flop.
Hi, I'm Ronald, and I'm the previous owner of the legendary Pokemon cards. Do you want to own the legendary Pokemon cards? Well, come on down to Ronald's Trading Card Game Shop. Just aptly named, just like the island I'm located on, Trading Card Game Island. You can come here, buy some cards, and beat the masters of each Pokemon Trading Card Game Club, where you'll earn a medal. After 8 medals, you can then go ahead and try to earn the legendary Pokemon cards. So come on down to Ronald's Trading Card Game Shop to increase your game.
Episode. And welcome back. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 632, Durant, the Iron Ant Pokemon.
They attack in groups, covering themselves in steel armor to protect themselves from heat more. Durant digs nests around in mountains. They build their complicated, interconnected tunnels and mazes. Individuals each play different roles in driving heat more, their natural predator, away from their colony.
Okay, so Durant has a Pokemon rival in Heatmore. It's a very one-sided rivalry, as Heatmore has...
It's more along the lines of, this is the Circle of Light, kudos.
he's a fire anteater, and this is an ant.
Not only an ant, but a steel bug type ant.
Yeah, Durant is actually...
What's super effective against steel and bug.
Durant is actually a really good Pokemon, though, honestly. He's got a base speed of 109, which is insane. He's got a pretty good defense, and he's got a pretty good attack. He does suffer in, like, the special defense area, and his HP isn't great. But I think he's a pretty usable Pokemon, and a lot of people
I like his design the best about... Like, I
how he's an
like,
ant, and that's, well, like, that's it. He's an ant. Like...
Well, he's a metal ant, first off.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like anything other than a normal ant colored
he's
gray.
He's a durable ant. Come on.
And I think he's actually used very much so in competitive Pokemon.
You say he's an ant, and then I look at the Japanese pronunciation, and it's literally ant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's in the RU tier, but he's sometimes used in the UU tier. But honestly, I don't want to talk about him too much in like competitive Pokemon. Personally, Maximus might have something, but I want to talk to about him as being used as a truant like passer for what is that, Battle Mason. It's actually incredibly useful because Durant actually gets access to Skill Swap, which is really, really cool. He gets Skill Swap, and he can swap Truant onto another Pokemon and just kind of run train, because he's incredibly fast, he's really good. You can set up Swords Dances for days.
Yeah.
It's definitely very useful.
Oh, funny thing, going back to Heatmore's natural enemy, with the Skill Swap, that one Durant goes against a Heatmore.
Yeah.
Heatmore has Flash Fire.
Oh my gosh, Flash Fire Durant would be awesome.
It switches, it gets Flash Fire, and then it gets Turant, it gives Turant to the Heatmore.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
It's pretty much invincible now.
Yeah.
It is invincible. Well, not invincible, but no weaknesses.
So let me see if I can find this set. Weaknesses. Okay, cool. let's see.
Oh, no, wait, Fire type is his only weakness.
Yeah, so with Flash Fire, it's immune.
Skill swap with Flash Fire, and then, yeah, he's basically Electros. Or Spiritomb post or pre 6th gen.
I heard Durant though is very good for these. And let's see. Oh, here's the guide. Here's the guide from Reddit. As I was trying to find it, because I thought I knew it and I wanted to double check. So you can actually you can run Durant with, let's see, Durant with Truant, and with the ability Truant, which is his hidden ability, which I think you can get from the Friend Safari. You give him the move Entrainment, Iron Head, and X-Scissor and Crunch. And you beef him up. You give him a Choice Scarf as well. You boost his, you give him a, you train him in Attack and Speed, obviously. And nothing very, very, nothing too much. But what you do is you just kind of skills, or you use Entrainment so that the opponent has the ability Truant, or gets the effects from Truant, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, why would you give him a Choice Scarf with that?
That way you can go first.
Yeah, but then you're stuck in Entrainment the entire time.
Are you? Why would you be stuck in Entrainment the entire time?
Because if you're using a Choice Scarf, you're stuck in that move.
Oh, that's true, but you use Entrainment and you switch out. You start with Durant, use Entrainment, then you switch out.
Wouldn't
the opponent just switch out too, knowing
he's the AI doesn't do that.
Oh, the AI doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, like, if you go into real competitive Pokemon, this isn't going to work. You'd have to use, like, Skill Swap or something. But Entrainment, on the other hand, will, changes the ability to match yours. So they'll be stuck with Truant. And so it's like using Skill Swap, but you get to hold on to your ability and just keep doing that over and over and over to your opponent. It's great. I mean, you could use that for Battle Mason, and it'll work really well.
And plus, if you get other Pokemon with Protect, you can just counter that every single turn.
So it's something. It's something to think about. I'm gonna try it out. I'm definitely going to try it out after this.
Yeah.
Something for the rest of my day. I'm going to go breed some Pokemon, go breed some Durant, and give Vigor a Genesect. And that's my
a
day.
Different Metal Bug.
I don't know. I actually, if you do want to run...
A different 5th gen Metal Bug.
If you do want to run Durant competitively, it's not impossible. It's a very good Pokemon, and so you'd want to use it in RU, probably. You want to give it the ability Hustle. Hustle, I think, is a much, much better ability.
It's
kind of like kind of like Sheer Force almost, but not really. Physical moves will do 50% more damage, but you're down 20% accuracy. But if you're Durant and you use Hone Claws, Hone Claws increases your accuracy as well as your attack, so that drop in accuracy doesn't really matter. And you can be run and train with some Iron Head superpower and X-Scissor. And on top of that, you can stack a life orb on top of that damage as well. Which it stacks up pretty easily too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to be very careful with that. Alright, alright. So, moving on. I guess that's it for the Pokemon of the episode. Unless there are trading cards in rotation.
There's also a bit of trivia, but not too much.
Oh, what is the trivia? Go with it.
There's only three bits that I can find on Bulbapedia.
Okay.
Durant and its rival Heatmore were both designed by Ken Sugimori.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess that's worth noting. Durant being the prey of Heatmore is reflected in their types,
mm-hmm.
which is blatantly obvious, but... And Durant and Heatmore have many statistical similarities. They share the same leveling rate, catch rate, hatch time, base experience yield, and base stat total.
I mean, that makes sense, right?
So they are rivals to the very end.
So, there is one Durant TCG card in a rotation, which the current rotation is X and Y on. It's a Flash Fire card. It's also a Steel-type card for you, Viger. It's not that great of a card, sadly.
It's one of those
for one colorless energy. You can use Chip Off, which is discard cards from your opponent's hand on random until he or she has four cards in his or her hand. So that's not even that good.
No,
because then if your opponent's got less than four cards, it's just like no. It also has X Scissor, which is 20 plus damage, which is done for one metal and one colorless energy. And you flip a coin, if heads, you do 20 more damage. So max this card's doing is 40 damage. It's also a 70 HP card. It just isn't that great.
It would look more like Durant's card is more of like a setup, like, hey, stay out here while I build up something a little bit more powerful.
I would definitely just get different cards.
Yeah. If you were stuck with Durant, definitely.
But
that is pretty much what you use him for.
Oh, even worse, this is a rare card. Oh my gosh.
How is that a rare card?
Yeah, it's a rare card. Just think about that.
They gave it rare to give people the incentive to own a Durant card.
I guess, because nobody else is going to want to.
Because you're not going to use it, but it's like, oh, it's rare, though.
Yeah.
You gotta have it. It's rare.
All right. So that's it for the Pokemon of the episode. If you want to do more Puckley goodness, you can go check out everything that the writers are doing. Scrawn has just opened up a new trivia article that's happening once every 2 weeks with the chance of winning, like, real-life prizes if you win the trivia. So go check that out at PucklePodcast.com. And as always, check out the other writers at PucklePodcast.com. They do an excellent job. So, yeah, without further ado, let's flip it over to the mailbag.
It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails. The mail's here. Check your inbox. It's time for the mailbag. Mail!
And on to the mailbag. Our mailbag this week is brought to you by Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves. And as always, if we see an email that we deem worthy of the Green Tauros badge, we will proudly hand it out. So moving on, we're going to go to the mailbag, and we're going to read all of your mailbags in response to the mailbag question. What do you guys know about rivals? Do you have any real-life rivals? Do you have... any experiences with the rivals in games? What do you guys think of them? So, without further ado, let's jump right on in. So, our first one is from Basket. What's up, Puckle Peeps? It's Basket again, and I'm here to say I wholeheartedly think you should take my kind of dorks thing from the last mailbag positively. Everyone is a dork in some way, and you're all just lucky enough to be dorks in the right way. So mm-hmm. pat yourselves on the back. I'm glad he gave me clarification, because I was very, very confused last week.
Yeah,
I'm a dork and I'm proud of it.
On to the mailbag question. Personally, I think a better question would be, what rivals can you stand? Because all are complete garbage and super annoying except the first two. Blue is awesome, but you freaking hated the jerk. He was always making you angry, and when he lost, he made you laugh maniacally as you tore through his team during your second playthrough. Out of sheer spite, on my second playthrough, I made a team that would wreck all of his mons. I also love the theory that you killed his Raticate because the bloodthirsty 10-year-old Basket was like, ha, take that, you jerk. ain't so cool now, are ya? It's good to have someone to despise. And Red was the little guy Basket loved to hate. Silver was awesome because he stole his starter, and there was the fan theory, eventually proven true in Heartgold to Silver, of him being Giovanni's son, which is makes him even cooler. After that, all of your rivals were overly nice people you couldn't ditch, no matter how hard you tried. Also, Red and Silver, when they wanted to battle, did it to screw you over and impede your eventual rise to the Elite Four, to be the Elite Four champion. Way better characters exist, in my opinion. But now rivals suggesting battles at the most inopportune moment just seems to be like they do it because they're idiots and have no idea how badly they're going to screw you over. Also, as far as I know, having beaten Gen 4 or 5, none of your rivals except Red and Silver actually become the League Champions. Silver never does, actually, at all. So based on that...
Blue.
Yeah, Blue's the only one. They all basically suck as trainers as well as people. The other rivals could have become champions, I guess, but didn't pay much attention since I didn't like them at all. If they do, they all still suck. Sorry if you like some of them. I drank a rival-flavored bottle of Haterade before I wrote this.
Oh,
keep on doing the do, Puckle Peeps. P.S. Obligatory poem I wrote for the Tauros badge.
Oh,
your
boy.
First rival was Red, or your first rival was Blue, but Red we all know the second gen rival was better than you. Your Blastoise sucked poops, your Pidgeot made me jelly. I loved your Exeggutor, but I'd rather those eggs were in my belly. Maybe I should apologize since I killed your Raticate. You can call me a stinker, but it felt great.
The iambic pentameter is all over the place on this one. No, it's still a good poem.
Mm-hmm. Alright, who wants this next one from Feathers?
I'll take the one from Feathers.
Go for it.
Alright. Hello, Puckle. To begin with, I have a bone to pick with the great leader, Thatch. I have heard you time and again claim that with the right moves, your second favorite Pokemon, Electivire, can hit at how many types super effectively? 15, you claim time and again? So as I sat trying to work out a team for the upcoming Pikachu International Challenge, I tried to determine what possible combinations of moves would arrive at 15 out of 18 types as Thatch is so likely to claim. The problem? It is impossible. The popular set seems to be something like Earthquake, Cross Chop, Thunder Punch, and Hidden Power Ice, which hits only 13. At best, a Pokemon would be able to hit 14 types with a combination of Ground, Fighting, Ice, and then Dark Ghost.
Rebuttal. So Thatch did not do his homework. Also, I was thinking it were 3 or 4 types that Electivire didn't hit super effectively, and when I read that information, it was in Gen 4. And Fairy type did not exist, and he does not hit 4 of the types super effectively.
So, this 15 number seems impossible. Until I realize the truth. Puckalonians and the Blackthorn Council, grab a hold of your Poke plushies, as I have some terrible news. Thatch must clearly be a hacker. The only way his Electivire could hit 15 types is if that Electivire knew Freeze Dry. Thatch has hacked an Electivire in just to get a hit on one more measly type than he otherwise could. I know this sounds awful, but this tale of woe becomes even worse. If Thatch has been a smarter hacker, he would have replaced Cross Chop with Flying Press and thereby upping this hacked Electivire to 16 types. So not only is our leader a hacker, he is a lousy one who only half-assed it. I know the disgrace this is likely to bring, and I doubt any of us Puckalonians would blame your Blackthorn Council for starting a mutiny. I leave that decision to you, though. I merely figured this truth should be shared.
Wow.
In other news, I'd like to say thanks for running the Summer League. It was a lot of fun to battle, and I was glad to be able to get all 10 badges,
yeah.
Which was quite the challenge. Thanks to all the gym leaders, I hope the tournament goes well, and we will see what my team can do. So,
without further ado, I do want to say that I am putting up, by the time you're listening to this, there will be on PucklePodcast.com a survey for everybody to fill out, if you would, so that we can know how to make the Summer League better for next year. Though I think it went pretty swimmingly this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep going, Viger.
And then he says some stuff in parentheses. By the way, as I said in the chat, I will be on vacation the rest of the week in the wilderness, devoid of the internet, so I will be unable to battle until Sunday, the 8th of August, which is...
Shouldn't this be the 9th of August?
So that was 2 days ago. Should be
that's
today.
It should be the 9th of August.
Sunday the 8th, but the 8th was a
It's probably
Saturday.
Sunday the 9th. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
We'll chalk it up to that one, so yeah. Finally, the mailbag itself. I don't have many thoughts on the rivals besides for a sad story from my past. I have always been a very straightforward and mathematical sort of person, sometimes almost like Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory. And so 8-year-old me got his gold game and started playing. This punk came in early and stole a Pokemon, and they said his name was ?. Then a little while later, they asked me what his name was, so I always typed out ?, and my rival was always named that for the rest of the game. I thought I heard this somewhere before.
Yeah,
I
did that sounds familiar.
I definitely did it.
Thatch, did you write this?
Yeah, no, but I...
Did you just expose yourself?
Keep reading the mailbag, and it doesn't get much better.
This was not until until Heart Gold that I picked up Pokemon again after a fairly long leave of absence from the series when I realized how foolish I had been in the past. I never realized I could name my rival whatever I wanted, and instead just always thought I had to relay what I had been told his name was and questioned why they would call anyone a group of three symbols. It was really quite sad, but ?? has and now always will be my first rival. Thanks for everything. Sorry I didn't include a poem, but I wanted to avoid having this be any longer and potentially over the word limit. Flips and flops, feathers.
All right. You're being serious about the poem.
Feathers is a past version of Thatch.
That's true. 100%. No. You've got this next one from Jedman. Maximus.
It's Maximus. That's his name.
Yeah. I'm so tired.
Yellow, whoever is reading this email, how's your shoes? I'm not wearing shoes right
Neither
now.
Neither am I.
What are those?
It's Marsh Pump Man here. Well, I've been having a pretty good summer. Not much. I've been doing a little swimming and watching.
I have no idea what MST3K is.
Yeah, neither do I. I feel like that's standing for something.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Okay. All I see is steak, but
it's like I would assume it's like some anime, but it could also be like a kids' TV show. I don't know.
Something else. I'm whipping out the iPad and I'm gonna get to the bottom.
Figure it out. Viger, you're on it.
I'm on it.
Keep going, Maximus.
Alright. And watching MST3K episodes here and there. Well, this is pretty much all I have to say. See you. Oh, yeah. I forgot one small little note that probably has nothing to do with the podcast. And is that I've been playing Pokemon Sapphire. And Thatch, it is...
one with a lot of zeros after it.
Wait, 1, 2, 3.
That's not even got like...
He only has one
comma. Yeah, he only has one comma.
Yeah, which is very confusing.
Different zeros. I don't think that's how numbers work.
I'm going to say one...
It's trillion? It's one quadrillion.
It's 1 quadrillion times better than Gen 4. Ouch. Anyway, I realized something about Pokemon, and I have something to say to all those who are criticizing Pokemon because it's the same thing every single time. Please, go escort yourself to the nearest cliff and put one foot out of
the other. Wow, that's a little dark.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be that bloodthirsty, but the reason... or one of the reasons that they haven't changed Pokemon more than that they have, is that Pokemon is approachable to casual and hardcore gamers. Pokemon is only as complicated as you want it to be. Something like breeding and EV training is not mandatory. It is only there if you are interested and want to. And that is why there is no reason to change the Pokemon formula. It only changes stuff a very little bit. Well, now that I'm done with this very small point, I will now say this. It's Smart Stomp Man, over and out.
Wonderful.
So, MSTK T3K is actually an abbreviation for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's what he's been watching.
Okay, that's actually like something good to watch.
Yeah, that is actually really nice to be watching.
I haven't heard of that name in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. It's like an old like 80s.
Well, they have it on Netflix, and they did some newer ones.
Yeah,
on like Hulu and Netflix and stuff like that. So,
all right. So this next one is from Ethanator 1903. Hello, Puckle Podcast. Ace Trainer Ethanator 1903 challenges you. Ace Trainer Ethan 1903 sent out Blue and Sharon and even Serena. Is this a triple battle of rivals? Yes, these are the rivals I'm talking about in this mailbag. I like the idea of you having a rival because you want to beat him and show him who's boss. And you want to wipe that smirk off his face. I like that he is the kid who just annoys everyone, and you're the kid who stands up to them. Sharon is kind of weird. He's trying to be the best trainer in the world, which is understandable, but then he just settles to be the first gym leader in the worst name badge ever. The basic badge. Why does he have such weak Pokemon? I mean, he makes a mention, actually, in Black and White 2 about how he would have a better time if he was using his real Pokemon. When he's your rival, he has way better Pokemon. He goes from trying to be the best of something to the worst of the third class. Champion, then Elite Four, and then Gym Leader. Lastly, I also like the idea of your neighborhood friend you just met is your rival, and you grow your friendship over time and building with each other. Ace Trainer Ethanator 1903 has no rivals left. Ace Trainer Ethanator 1903 wipes out. He gives a nice pair of flip-flops to the victor. Alright.
Alright.
This next one is from
Skeleton.
Skeleton, I think, is how it's pronounced.
Yeah, Skeleton.
But it's S-K-E-L-O, the number 10.
Skelo. Yes.
You got this, Mike.
Alright, I got it. Hello, Puck Alliance, it's Skeleton. And two... Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah,
and
keep
two
going.
Is Boring Bulbasaur.
Because he's doing that rival... thing with the 26 emails with, like, the...
Oh, right.
With the then... adjective that begins with the same letter as the Pokemon.
I get it. And two is Boring Bulbasaur. Rivals. I don't know what to think of them. I like seeing what my opposite is in Pokemon, but repetitive battles are evil and must be exterminated. Trainer battles, not gyms or catching, are one of my least favorite parts of Pokemon. And if I'm stuck in a battle and trying to save and leave, I feel like deleting my save file. Something about flips and flops. Bye. P.S. Greek theme team ideas? I liked theme teams.
Can't give you one of those. I don't know about any Greek themes.
I'm not really one for a Greek themed, but if you're going for machine theme, I got you covered. The industry right
theme. Next week, do machine, and then Viger won't be here, and we'll do it for
and
him.
And then just be, well, then you're just
should have been here.
Should have been here. Should have asked him when I was here. But no, exactly. Message me, and I'll hook you up.
All right, you want this next one from Goggles, Maximus?
I didn't know if Viger wanted to do this one because it was.
Oh, I don't care who does it. Somebody can do it.
Somebody do it.
Just somebody do Goggles.
Okay, I'll do Goggles.
Go for it.
Howdy ho, Thatch and Co.
Sorry.
That was so good. That was so good.
That was so good.
That's how I imagine he says it.
Yeah, here with an email 2 weeks in a row. I apologize for this unnecessary rhyming, but it feels like I finally stepped up on my timing. Let's see how long until the chain breaks. My guess is soon, so no mistake. All right, that's enough of that silly nonsense. There's emailing to do. Also, before I say something else, a big thank you, Whimsicott, for giving me my last email, kinda, of the bravado I was feeling of writing it. You are truly the fluffiest of our time. So rivals then. To be honest, I walked the line of them being annoying or to be insequential to the longest time now. Aside for Silver and maybe Serena, I guess, none of them really stuck with me in any of my adventures, even when I named them after my friends and family. Funny story about Silver, though. When I was a kid, I was not the biggest or brightest and named him ?
Wow. I'm seeing a running theme.
I told you, I'm not the only one.
Because that's what he said his name was. It never clicked to me that you can choose his name. So yeah, rivals. Rarely cool, often just in the way. Although a real life, or at least a Puckle rival, would be interesting to have or to become. Well, that's all I got for you today. Back to the patrol in the city of revolutionaries causing a ruckus. Don't explode your flip-flops. Goggles.
Goggles, I could be your rival. I'll smell you later, goggles. Yeah, rivals. I'll take this next one from Link Lost Uke. Greetings, Thatch and crew. Link Lost Uke here, getting ready for some friendly discussion about rivals. Who am I kidding? It's Rivals Week. You're not supposed to be nice when talking about your rivals. Most of us can agree that Pokemon has improved over the years. However, I feel that the rivalries have fallen by the wayside. Let's take the latest generation, for example. Your rival didn't even feel like a rival. What the whole rivalry felt like was like the protagonist trekking through France, casually bumping into their friend in beautiful scenes, only to get placed in the unused box known as the Friend Zone. If I wanted to play a game to replicate my life, I'd play The Sims. I miss the old rivalries, the one where you want to beat your rival every step of the way because they've done something to you, or they're really smug and need a reality check. Let's look at Blue. Now that's a rival. All through the game, he goes on saying how much better than you he is. So what do? You show him up time and time again. That's what you do. And every time you defeat him, you get a bit of satisfaction. Even more so when he produces a rat dog move, produces rat dog moves, and shows up when you don't expect it or weren't ready for the battle. Plus, Blue is cool. Even though you wanted to destroy his team, he was still a cool NPC that had charisma and personality. Silver, or as I like to call him, ? I know, how original, right? Was also a good rival for the same reason as mentioned. I also like the extended backstory for Silver and Soul Silver. For me, Gen 1 and 2 rivals were just a cut above the rest. But wait. As I've been writing this, I've come to the realization that I played Blue and Silver. Does that mean I've been the bad guy all along? Arg, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to look back and think my life has been one whole lie. As before, I finish up on in-game rivals, I take back what I said about missing old rivalries to an extent. Ronald from the TCG is possibly the worst rival in the series. He just doesn't provide anything. Sorry, Ronald, but it's the truth. As for real-life rivals, I don't think anyone sees me as a rival. Well, they might, but I don't know any. However, I see myself as having a few rivals who don't even know they're my rival. It's sometimes in live events or online, but when I see someone being a meanie and putting down others for using Pokemon or not having the best movesets, I make it the goal to beat that meanie. That meanie doesn't know it, but I'm happy to put them in their place, and I like to think that the person who they bullied feels better knowing that they got beat. It might not technically be a rivalry, but it's a one-way street, but hey, it's Pokemon. The rules of the world can be stretched a bit. Plus, it makes me feel like I'm red, and they're blue, or the other way around. Let's not complicate this any further. Anyway, until next time, Link Lost Uke out.
Alright,
so the next one is from... What does he call himself? I guess just Nathan. He doesn't give us a name.
Alright, so... If any Nathan's listening, if this sounds familiar, well then it's your email. So, with regard to rivals, if there were a way to play Pokemon without having to run through the story, would you do it? The story of why was.
I think he means Y version, but it gets spelled out like
said
the word
W-H-Y, Y. As in Y. So the story of Y was insultingly bad. Kinda made me wish I could play only in online matches to level up my Pokemon. Maybe there could be some sort of currency from winning that I could use to buy a new portion, TMs, and items like Mega Stones. I don't know. Whatever the logistics, I would totally be down. I'd rather grind against opponents online than wild Pokemons any day.
I mean, I think you're asking for Pokemon the cartridge to become Pokemon Showdown, and I don't think that's what Pokemon is.
but how would you get new Pokemon then?
Yeah, exactly. You have to go through the game. You have to have fun with it. Own it.
Pokemon is essentially the grind.
Okay, so it's, I believe, Charney. He corrected me. Charney, you get this one from Charney, Maximus, our Polish friend.
Okay. And it's Charney, because I don't want to
Charney.
Insult.
It's Charney. I don't
want to insult anyone. Hello, Thatch and Puckalicious co-hosts. Greetings from Poland, where I'm just waiting for Groudon sightings to be reported by the news, because it's so absolutely scorching hot here.
What do you consider hot in Poland? That is a question I want to ask. What do you
Poland
consider to
is
be
more
hot?
Up north, so...
Yeah, like, is it like 80 there, and he's just like, it's so hot? And
I chalk it up to that.
No, this is hot. You come down here to Florida in the summer, in August, and you tell me hot.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. What's the temperature in Poland right now? Let's find out. Let's see what the weather is in Poland.
Let's see if you're a little...
It is 77 degrees in Poland right
now.
Oh,
bull crap!
In Warsaw. This is in Warsaw. Yeah. It's going to be a high of 87.
I would kill to be in that kind of weather.
Yeah, right? Either way, keep going, Max.
Either way, it would probably work in reverse if we were like, it's like 40 degrees and like, oh my gosh, it's so cold! And he's probably going to be like...
No, we live in the Midwest, Viger. It's going to be -2 this winter. Let's calm down.
Yeah.
First of all, yay, green tourist badge, smiley face. I was so thrilled to learn that you liked my email from 2 weeks ago enough to reward it. If that wasn't enough, I even got to experience the sheer horror and paralyzing disbelief when Thatch said, didn't we give it to him though? I feel like we might have, which basically has become such a might rite of passage as getting the badge itself. Wow.
My gosh, Thatch.
I'm really bad at this.
Yes, you really? Are.
Really? That considers not giving the mail patch to somebody because they might already have one, even though they haven't? Should be part of the Puckle Bingo, if it's not already. Also, I wanted to point out my name is pronounced more like Charny. Char as in Charmander. Yeah, Polish have some weird spelling, I know. Anyway, yeah. To the mailbag topic, rivals have always been a part of the games. I really enjoy, especially Blue and Silver. They both are great antagonists to the player character without really being true villains. Their smugness and overconfidence made you detest them just enough, but their skill always demanded respect. I don't remember how annoying it was to face Blue one last time after barely surviving the battle with Lance in Gen 1. But at the same time, finally defeating him and becoming the new champion was so satisfying. Still, learning that he then became the Viridian City gym leader in Gen 2, I was like, good for you.
Good for you.
Our rival accomplishments do kind of reflect on your own, and that's why we might cheer for them a bit, even though we were bent on defeating them. Yeah, I took your title. Oh, but you'd be a good gym leader. Unfortunately, later generation rivals have never been up to par since then. Barry and Hugh just seem to annoy me. I don't like being rushed, okay? While May and Serena seem to lack, how should I put it, any resemblance to a character trait whatsoever. On the other hand, I really like the concept behind Wally. More on a protege at first. He soon becomes a powerful trainer in his own right, especially in Gen 3 remakes. His growth is really inspiring to watch. That's it from me. Time to go back to breeding my Pikachu tournament team. Farewell from the place where you currently risk your flip-flops getting stuck in the molten asphalt roads if you go outside. Charlie.
Molten asphalt roads in 70 degree weather. No, that's not how the asphalt works.
Yeah. I mean, it could be Polish asphalt. You don't
I've seen asphalt run down my driveway. I know how hot it needs to get.
Polish asphalt might be melting. You don't know.
Who knows? I don't know.
All but, right. So I've got this last one from...
Just one last thing with that email. For anybody who is like curious of how his name is actually spelled... There's a Z in there somewhere.
I mean, that's Polish, man.
And I'm gonna leave it there for you.
Polish is like this weird like combination like in spelling in like their alphabet where they have like Russian sounds, but they use like Roman letters, and it's really weird how it translates.
Yeah.
Either way, so the next email is from Mega Man. Dear Puckle and assorted co-host, Mega Man here to email into another episode of Puckly Goodness. I guess I don't have much to talk about besides the mailbag. One Pokemon I think is underappreciated is Leafeon. Ha! No, I actually think that Regice is very underappreciated. Even though it has limited moveset, access to Ice Beam and high special defense means you can buff up EVs in defense and HP, and then have a bulky special attacker, which can take most fire moves. It can take lots of flamethrowers, and a few weak fighting moves. There are a few attacking Steel-type moves that... So just switch out if you suspect someone having a steel move, and switch out with steel types as they get stabbed. Rock moves under 85 base power it can take. It's best used in doubles where it can hit Tyranitar, Salamence, and Landorus T hard while taking little damage. Other than some of Tyranitar's stab attacks, and be paired with someone to cover its weaknesses. It's really about knowing when to have it on the field. I mean, that's Pokemon.
Yeah.
About rivals, I thought first gen was executed the best, and second gen was good too. Third gen tried to do two rivals, but they turned out pretty bland in character and story importance. Fourth gen was okay, but there was nothing special about your rival in that game. Fifth generation did two rivals, and it was well executed, but they don't have much else going for them. I like the idea of multiple rivals, but I just thought there were way too many. Anyway, that's for me. Mega Man out. Alright, so anybody think anybody here needs the mailbag badge?
I'm going to chalk it up to...
There's always the question, who has it already?
I know this one. Okay, Link Lost Uke has it. Goggles has it. Let me double check about Feathers, but I think Feathers doesn't
have it. Apparently Charney has it.
Charney does have it. I gave it to him earlier this week.
Does Mega Man have it? I'm just checking.
Mega Man does not have it.
Okay, so Mega Man, Skeleton, Basket.
Yeah.
What about Marsh Top Man? Just making sure.
He does not have it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Does Feathers have it by chance?
No, I don't think Feathers has it. I can't see that Feathers has it in my list. So well, maybe I'm Feathers gonna, should get it.
I'm chalking mine up to Feathers.
I can go with Feathers as well.
Well, I guess my vote doesn't count.
So Feathers, you get the mailbag badge. You can get the Green Taurus badge by submitting it at pucklepodcast.com. You might have it already, but I couldn't see it on here. So hopefully I'm not wrong. So, yeah. Next week, we're going to be doing a... we're going to be doing a Pokemon Archetype Team episode again for VGCs in honor of the World Championships happening the weekend afterwards. So all of you can watch and try to make conclusions from what you've learned. So what are your favorite like Pokemon to use in the VGC format? Send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com for next week. In the meantime, if you want some more Puckly goodness during the week, you can go visit the website, pucklepodcast.com, come to the chat box, chat it up. Post some things on the forums, read all of the articles we have posted there, almost one every day. And you can also follow us on Twitter to get some updates. You can follow us on Facebook to get updates. You can also follow us on Tumblr. We post a lot of cool art there. And you can also subscribe to our subreddit. On top of that, you should also review us on iTunes. iTunes reviews are a great way to give Thatch self-confidence. And at the same time, it also helps other people find us, which is a really big plus, and we can help the community grow. The more we can help the community grow, to the more cool things we can do as a community. Also, watch out, in like 6 weeks, I think we're going to hit episode 200, so we're making some plans for that. So follow us on social media to keep up to date on that. We should start posting some stuff in the next week or two about what's about to go down. Also, we're going to be... I have plans for lots of future content, so also keep up on our social media to find out about that. Without further ado, I guess, I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Viger.
And I'm Mr. Maxwell.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Side. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.